Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Showtime. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Tuesday, November 17th, almost Thanksgiving. I'm Clayton Moore. So glad to have you here on the show. On today's show, Trump's failure to start a transition could cause lives to be lost. That coming from President-elect Biden. We'll tell you what he says about that. What could Biden do on day one to kickstart this recovery? There is a long list of things, both that includes some forms of stimulus, as well as other executive actions that we will talk about. There's a long list, and I think you're going to be excited about some of these. We will tell you about that on the show today. Also, there's a long list of stimulus items we will cover on the show that are about to expire, and Congress isn't doing a damn thing about it. All of that is about to expire before by the end of this year. So sad. Nothing. Nada. Going to happen. Republicans are also trying to have ballots thrown out in Georgia, and the Georgia Secretary of State is getting death threats. We'll tell you what's going on there with some exclusive reporting this morning out of Georgia. So those are the big stories that I like to cover on the show today. Grover is here floating around somewhere after a little walk. We'll see if we can find him in a little bit. That's coming up on the show. Is toilet paper running out near where you live? Because it's running out all over the country once again. So I guess you better stock up on toilet paper if you really rely on it that much. You know what also works well is soap and water. You can use that too. I don't know if anyone's told you about that. You can try to use some soap and water. Before we get to the big news today, I want to tell you about our show sponsor and how you can get some free food. Look, right now things are out of control. And if you can get $80 in free food and save money at the grocery store, why wouldn't you do it? So our friends over at HelloFresh are sponsoring today's show. You can get $80 off just by going to this URL, morninginvest.com/hello. And what they'll do is they'll send amazing recipes and dinners in the perfect portions right to your house. And you can cook these meals in less than 30 minutes. I love these guys. I've been using them for years. You can pick from vegetarian options if you're a vegetarian. You can pick from a meat and veggie option, family friendly, so kids can get involved. My son loves cooking now, so you get the recipe cards, and they're all sorts of different varieties that show up at your house. And you save about 40% on your bills by not going to the grocery store because you're not buying stuff you don't use, and the prices are lower. Plus, you'll get $80 off. Right, $80 in free food just for using that URL. Go to morninginvest.com/hello to check out HelloFresh. We thank them for their support of Morning Invest. And thank you to all of you for becoming a channel member, by the way. You can become a channel member by supporting independent journalism right here on our channel by going to morninginvest.com/join. That's how you can become a channel member for less than a cup of coffee once a month. You can support a show that we do every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So thank you for that. All right, let's get to the news today. And let's talk about this COVID peaking problem right now. You know, everyone's talking about, oh, the leaves are peaking right now. It's beautiful outside. Well, now these COVID cases are peaking across the country. Just take a look at this new chart out this morning and where these counties are in orange are showing up. These counties in orange are fall peaking season. So that's where COVID is peaking right now across the country. You can see where summer was in blue through most of the South and in the spring up in New York and other places like that. Now it's spread all across the country with COVID cases peaking across the country. And Trump has all but disappeared right now from this pandemic fight. President-elect Biden last night in a press conference says that Trump's unwillingness to work with him on this transition right now between these two administrations is going to cost lives. People will die. And that's not just hyperbole, because at the center of this is the distribution of the vaccines, which we could see unfolding in the next few weeks. Apparently, they have a plan that they put in place. But wouldn't it be nice for you to share that plan with an incoming administration so they're not having to scramble at the last minute? You know the story about this vaccine, right? That it needs to be stored at like ridiculously cold temperatures. And that requires a lot of infrastructure to not, we don't have just trucks everywhere with that are like deep storage refrigeration trucks. Like you're going to rob Baskin's Robbins trucks to start delivering vaccines. Like that's exactly what we need. We need an infrastructure to get this distributed across the country. We need hundreds of thousands of these vaccines. The goal would be to get hundreds of thousands of these distributed and in people's hands by the spring. What does that transition look like? What is it? What does that plan look like? We don't know. So President-elect Biden was asked that very question by a reporter last night during this press conference and said it's going to cost lives if we can't get action from the Trump administration.
What do you see as the biggest threat to your transition right now, given President Trump's unprecedented attempt to obstruct and delay a smooth transfer of power?
More people may die if we don't coordinate. Look, as my chief of staff, Ron Klain, would say, who handled Ebola, the vaccine is important. It's of little use until you're vaccinated. So how do we get the vaccine? How do we get over 300 million Americans vaccinated? What's the game plan? It's a huge, huge, huge undertaking to get it done, prioritize those greatest in need, and working our way through it, and also cooperate with the World Health Organization and the rest of the world in dealing with this. And so they say they have this Warp Speed program that not only dealt with getting vaccines, but also how to distribute this. If we have to wait until January 20th to start that planning, it puts us behind over a month, month and a half. And so it's important that it be done, that there be coordination now. Now or as rapidly as we can get that done. It's important that people who are in the greatest need get it. I wouldn't hesitate to get the vaccine. But I also want to set an example. But I wouldn't hesitate to get the vaccine if, in fact, Dr. Fauci and these two organizations, whether it's Moderna or Pfizer, who have been extremely responsible, conclude that it is safe and able to be done.
So there is President-elect Biden speaking yesterday at this press conference, saying that this is going to cost lives, that if we don't have this transition in place, if we don't have access to this information, people are going to die. And by the way, this is what's already happening. President Trump is not working at all with the incoming administration. I guess his big ego is getting in the way. Not allowing them to have meetings on this, not allowing them access to the coronavirus plans. You know, they have this Operation Warp Speed, but what the heck? If we don't know what it is, how can we help? How can we implement this plan? So if you don't think this is a big deal, just think about this for a second. We have 1,000 people a day basically dying of this disease right now. Just put that in perspective for a moment. Think of it in terms of a terrorist attack. Think about how we're losing 1,000 people a day. Imagine if we were being attacked every day by a terrorist group. And every day we had 1,000 people that were killed at the hands of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or something. And then you have a president who is not even focused on the pandemic and is out playing golf and tweeting. Wouldn't there be nationwide outrage? But that's exactly what's happening. We have 1,000 people a day dying from this now. And we have a president who is out to lunch. There's a couple of things the president is focused on, and I'll get to those in a second, but they have nothing to do with the pandemic. But stonewalling this transition right now is already having consequences because it's forcing Biden, the team, Team Biden, to go around the federal government right now. It's forcing them, instead of getting access to the information from the White House, they're having to get on the phone with CVS and Walgreens. This is true. I'm not making this up. They're having to get on the, this is what Biden's team right now is having to do because the White House won't give them the information. They're having to call up CVS and Walgreens to get information on vaccine distribution to make sure that things are in place. They're basically having to try to reverse engineer what maybe Dr. Fauci and the other team have already been doing for months, but they don't know. It's like, here, I'm going to build a PowerPoint presentation for you. And you're about to go give a speech. And then the person's like, but I'm not going to actually give you the PowerPoint presentation. You're going to have to figure out what I wrote in this PowerPoint presentation and come up with it on your own. What? I have to give the speech. I need that. Yeah, but I just can't help you, pal. Sorry. Now they're also having, Team Biden is having to get on the phone with governors as well. So he's literally having to reverse engineer this whole thing. Getting on the phone with governors, calling CVS, calling Walgreens to get this information. Oh, and by the way, yesterday at the press conference, it was an amazing moment. One of the reporters asked him, you know, about getting these presidential daily briefs and getting access to this, you know, the information to make sure that we're safe. And Biden said, I'm not in power. You know, I can't. No, they haven't given me access yet. But good news. Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, is still on the Intelligence Committee. So she's still getting briefings. Isn't that amazing? He's like, oh, my running mate, Vice President-elect, at least she's getting the briefings. Only because she happens to be a sitting senator until January. So here is what Trump is doing. If you think, oh my gosh, man, this guy's doing nothing. No, he's doing a lot of stuff. It just has nothing to do with the pandemic. It has nothing to do with stimulus. But here's what he's doing. On Friday, he spent some time, took some time out of tweeting and golfing to make sure that he's cutting access to Social Security. Trump administration announced on Friday it's finalizing rules meant to do nothing but make it harder for disabled people to receive Social Security and to endanger the Social Security benefits of disabled people who are already approved for it. And the first regulation is changing the appeals process by replacing impartial, independent administrative law judges with internal agency lawyers, making it much more difficult for people to navigate this process. Because what you want in a pandemic is disabled people to have less access to Social Security benefits. Like when that paper comes across your desk, right? Oh, here's the memo. Here's what's on my agenda today. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, so I have to cut Social Security benefits for disabled people. Jared, did you come up with this idea? That's a brilliant idea, Jared. This sounds like a great idea. I'm going to spend some time doing that. I'm going to spend some time cutting Social Security benefits for disabled people. Oh, he's not done. There's also time is running out for us to drill, baby, drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, which, by the way, is not supported by Alaskans at all. The environmental impact studies on this say how disastrous it will be. Trump officials right now are rushing right now to auction off the remaining rights to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge before Biden can block it. They want to start drilling in these pristine wild wilderness coastlines. By the way, we also know how detrimental this has been. We know how the Exxon Valdez is still not cleaned up. The environmental impact of that disaster in Alaska is still being felt. So good job, Trump. And, of course, reported it here the other day, but it's worth repeating, that the Trump administration is racing right now to finish over 400 miles of border wall to make sure that people can't cross the border. Because everyone wants to come to America right now. America is the place to be. So making sure that that money being used for the border wall gets spent. We need billions of dollars, upwards of $20 billion to spend on that border wall. Get that thing erected. And you're working hard in these last few days, aren't you, President Trump? Way to go. And you see stories like this. Texas nurse describes the pit where COVID-19 patients are sent to die. There's a room that they just call the pit. Or they're just like shoveling people into this room and they know they're going to die and they just have no, they don't have the treatment facilities available for them. So they're putting them in there, waiting for them to die. It's almost like the plague. Or like a Monty Python movie, you know, bring out your dead, just put them in there, wait till they die. But there is good news. We got some good news on COVID today. Double lung transplants are now helping. That's right. So according to Northwestern, this is in Chicago Sun-Times, that there are now people ringing the phone off the hook at Northwestern COVID Lung Transplant Center because this is working. So you have to wait for someone else to die because your lungs are so ravaged by COVID. The way that you can live is by getting a double lung transplant. They've done now six of these transplants, and it's very difficult to do, according to the doctors, because the lungs, as you know, when infected with COVID, or they look like the lungs of an 80-year-old person who's been smoking. And the way that they affix the new lungs, those, I don't know what they're called, but those branches are also problematic. So it makes it very difficult to transplant two lungs into a COVID patient, but it's working. So this is a new hope. We have to wait for other people to die with healthy lungs so that we can replace two lungs in COVID patients.
Well, but the people with the healthy lungs can't get to the hospital to get in anyway because of all the COVID patients. So what a vicious circle.
Right. They're overwhelmed. Yeah, they're overwhelmed. I mean, this story, you're absolutely right. I mean, El Paso inmates are helping overwhelmed morgues right now. Doctors are calling it quits. Healthcare workers, we're facing a shortage of healthcare workers across the country. As I mentioned here the other day, Doctors Without Borders is flying doctors into the United States. They usually fly into famine-ravaged countries. You know, countries that like Live Aid helped in the 80s. That's what you think of when Doctors Without Borders. Now they're flying into the United States to help from other countries because we are this epicenter. And you have a president who's out to lunch. So the fact that Biden went and said this yesterday, said the idea the president is still playing golf and not doing anything about it is beyond my comprehension. At least you think he'd want to go out on a positive note. He'd want to end his presidency on a positive note. Unbelievable. That's your president for you. That's President Trump these last few days without a clean transition for the Biden team. By the way, do you see what's going on in Philadelphia? There's a number of different states putting in different lockdown procedures right now and measures. So Philadelphia banning all indoor gatherings. No singing allowed in New Jersey. No singing, which is probably a good thing in New Jersey anyway. But Philly is banning all indoor gatherings. They don't want any Thanksgiving or Christmas. I saw a tweet this morning. It's actually pretty frightening. It said, if you guys get together for Thanksgiving, start planning funerals by Christmas time. So Philadelphia under strict measures saying, do not get together. If you don't live in the house where you're going, stay in that house. Do not go to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving. Do not go to somebody else's house for Christmas. No going over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house this Christmas. And, you know, I hate to be a Scrooge about it, but look what Canada, we covered this in the newsletter this morning, Canada. They had their Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving a few weeks ago in October. And if Canada is any indication, it's going to be a disaster. They've seen a surge in cases in Canada because everyone got together on Thanksgiving. It's the way it goes. And in the United States, it's going to be much worse. Let me know your thoughts. Are you guys planning on, let me know in the chat, let me know in the comments what you're planning to do on this holiday. Are you going to stay home? Are you planning to get together? I want to hear your feedback on this. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Please drop a like, leave a comment, and thank you so much. We've got a lot more to get to here on the show today.
That's a conversation that Jennifer and I are having because her family, some of them want to come out here for, you know, Thanksgiving. And so we're just like really at odds because she hasn't seen her family in a long time. So it's like a really hard decision to make, you know, should you be socially responsible? Right. Cause you know, you're going into the airports and stuff. And it's like, you know, it's hard because people like that's like what we do. We get together. Right. But maybe yeah. Staying home this year.
Yeah. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, I mean, the thought that you need to get together during a pandemic when you have, especially when the older people in your family could be adversely affected by this. I just saw someone in the chat just a few minutes ago before the show started saying, I just lost two family members to COVID. Like I said, my father-in-law just diagnosed with COVID, having to quarantine right now. Thank goodness he's healthy. But, you know, what sort of adverse effects on the body are we seeing long term on the lungs, on the brain, on the heart? And then it becomes a pre-existing condition, especially when and people losing their health care right now on top of all of that. And you have to deal with a pre-existing condition if you lose your, you know, if you lose your insurance. Much more to come here on the show. Let's talk about. I want to talk about this because there's a laundry list of things here we got to get through. So what could President-elect Biden do on day one to kickstart this recovery? Well, it turns out there's quite a boatload of things, a laundry list of things that President-elect Biden could do on the very first day of his presidency. He could literally walk over to the Oval Office after inauguration ceremony, sit down at the Resolute desk, pull out a pen or a Sharpie, and sign a number of executive actions to kickstart this recovery. So let's go through exactly what is already being talked about. One of the top pieces that I want to talk about is already on the table and being kicked around very strongly by his Democratic colleagues, where he would not need Mitch McConnell. He would not need Congress to pass these things that I'm about to talk about. Number one on the list is executive action to cancel student loan debt. This is a big deal. This is what Senator Schumer is calling for, would be a reduction of, or a wiping clean, basically, of $50,000 in student loan debt. Would be transformative. I don't think it gets any bigger than that. He would be able to go through a laundry list of items on this student loan provision that could wipe away 15% of raise a minimum wage, to $15 an hour, wipe away $50,000 worth of student loan debt for families making a certain amount of money. Chuck Schumer is calling on this. He and Elizabeth Warren have put this together and are demanding this, saying, look, here's an idea. Let's get this through. This is something he could do without any need for Congress to be involved in this. It's a pretty remarkable thing, and it would be transformative to millions of Americans who are saddled with student loan debt and who, through no fault of their own, can't find jobs right now because those jobs are gone. They're sitting there having to choose between paying rent or paying interest or paying their student loan back right now. And the federal government could sign an executive action to eliminate all of that. And, you know, it's probably where the federal government would step in and pay for that. It would be fantastic. There's a great piece in the Washington Post on how Biden is planning to set up his entire government right now. Listen to this, and it would be fantastic for progressives like me who would love to see a government set up this way. So this is encouraging that he would set up the entire government. Instead of just having the Environmental Protection Agency involved in environmental ideas, he would set up his entire government as an environmental apparatus. So everything from the Treasury Department to the State Department, to the Commerce Department, to all of it, to address climate change. Just think about that for a second. The Department of Defense uses more fossil fuels than any other organization on Earth. The Department of Defense, with their tanks and their aircraft carriers and their weapons and everything, uses more fossil fuels than any other organization in the world. So imagine reducing those fossil fuel emissions. Imagine being able to put in place things that would actually transform our Navy, our Air Force. Former head of the Navy tried to get some of this done and went a long way to trying to do this. Wasn't able to get very far, but was trying to transform the Navy to be more environmentally friendly. If you think about these Trump era regulations right now that made cars less fuel efficient, on day one, President-elect Biden would roll back these environmental rollbacks from the Trump administration. So a lot of it would be him unwinding a lot of Trump things on day one, which could be transformative to our economy. Making cars more fuel efficient. So he would roll that Trump era thing back. He could roll back ways they allowed more oil and gas exploration under Trump. I mean, look, here we go, right? Trump officials rushing to auction off rights to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge before Biden can block it. He's going to go back into the Paris Climate Accords on day one. A bunch of his early phone calls with European leaders, included talking about negotiating stronger agreements through the Paris Climate Accords. It's all critical stuff. Only 15% of global emissions come from the United States. So us having that lever to be able to talk about with other countries about rolling back emissions in these other countries would be incredibly important. You have to deal with all of that. You can deal with it. You could have all of these different parts of your administration dealing with climate change, which is be transformative. It would not just be the EPA. It would be the Treasury Department, and everything that they do would be tied to climate. They could be employing thousands of people at much higher wages. These environmental jobs pay a lot more. Creating solar panels at home instead of abroad. Creating jobs that are making solar panels here instead of in China. Wind turbines, etc. He can immediately protect dreamers. So this is something also on the desk. They can immediately suspend the Muslim ban, which can you believe is actually still in place? They can immediately move to reverse some of Stephen Miller's stuff, of course. Voldemort, his policies around refugees. They can immediately halt deportations of everyone except violent offenders. There's a whole host of things they can do on immigration on day one. Big ones like DACA, the Muslim ban. You can get rid of the public charge rule. You know what the public charge rule is? It says that it would allow the U.S. to discriminate against someone who in the future might have a economic hardship. Like, we're going to allow you to come in, and maybe 3 years from now, you could have a tough time of things, so we're not going to let you come in. So it would be able to deal with the public charge rule that's in place. Again, canceling student loan debt up to $50,000. Would also get rid of the ban on transgender people serving in the military. Elizabeth Warren wrote a piece in the Washington Post, and who wrote to the White House, said that she said, in addition to student loan debt, which she wants wiped away, there's also apparently the ability to bypass patents to bring down some drug prices. So these are some stimulus options here. So getting cheaper pharmaceuticals by going around certain patents so that Americans could get cheaper pharmaceuticals. They could do that through executive action. She says health and safety standards so that companies can't force employees to work in unsafe conditions. This again was part of the HEROES Act. So this is again an executive action that President-elect Biden could do on day one that would in fact be a bit of a COVID stimulus package through executive action. One of the concerns, of course, is that these liabilities protections, you know, that Mitch McConnell wants to put in place. Excuse me, Grover, what are you talking to? Who are you talking to? These liability protections that Mitch McConnell wants to put in place for businesses so people can't sue them if they're forced to work in unsafe conditions. You know, protecting big business once again, because that's how we like to roll. He can also increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour for anyone who works for the federal government, which is a lot of people. So anyone who contracts with the federal government could immediately see a boost to $15 an hour through executive action. So these are all things that Biden could do on day one. So to me, most notably, of course, is the student loan forgiveness at $50,000. Again, I think student loan debt in our country is just ravaging our young people. It's setting them up for failure. I sent this out on TikTok the other day, and I said, you know, what would $50,000 in student loan forgiveness do for you? And said it would be transformative. I'd be able to breathe again. One woman said, you know, I work two jobs just so I can pay back my student loan debt. And I don't see in the next 20 years where I will be able to be able to start making like profit in my life. It's horrible to think that. Horrible to think that. And that's why I'm on such a crusade against student loan debt in our country. You know, our United States spends so much on student loan debt and student loans to begin with that these kids are set up for failure right out of the gate. And they're not aware of the return on investment of that student loan to begin with. So if you can track the return on investment of becoming a doctor or becoming an engineer or a lawyer or an architect, and you know you're going to spend X amount of dollars, and you can track it, that in 6 years working in the hospital, you'll have paid back all of that debt. Great. There's a clear ROI when you become a surgeon, and you'll know that it's going to take you 7 to 8 years to pay it all back. Okay. But if you're just going to college because your parents want you to, there's no real reason to go, and you don't really want to go. So why are you going to get $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt for no reason? Wouldn't it be better to take a year off and figure out what the heck you want to do? Start your own business, you know, learn a trade where you're not going massively into debt. But nevertheless, a lot of these people who had great intentions of getting out and graduating and starting a career, Then COVID hit, and through no fault of their own, they're now living back with their parents. They can't afford rent. They're paying these student loans. They have no jobs. So I think the student loan forgiveness would be absolutely transformative. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below. What this would do for you with your student loans. And I've seen a lot of people complain saying, yeah, well, what about all the people that spent years working diligently to pay off their student loans? They're freeloaders now. They would just be freeloaders. It's kind of a horrible way of looking at it. I mean, I get your point. I worked hard to pay off my student loans, but I also didn't have to deal with a pandemic. And I was able to start working right out of college and got a job. And now with so many industries, and you know, think low-wage workers, that's what a college student is. When they get out, you're not going right to the top of the heap. You're not going to the top of the law firm. You're not going to the top, you know, the top floor. You have to start at the bottom. And a lot of those jobs have been eliminated.
People don't think about the emotional stress that, you know, just like you're going through college, you're going out into the world for the first time to do something, and you've got all that debt over your head, and, you know, you have to pay. Like, you look at other countries that don't do that, and how much better the quality of life is for people, and how much happier they are that they don't have the stress of debt over their head when they've, you know, they learn a new skill or something.
Right. It's kind of an esoteric way of looking at it, or a holistic way of looking at it, but it's so true. I mean, I was under like debilitating anxiety and stress for so many years because of money. So imagine if you could have like that slate wipe clean, like, yes, Europeans do. So they're able to go to free public college and then they start their career. They're not saddled with enormous student loan debt. So they're already starting like 7 years behind because it's going to take them 7 years or 8 years or 9 years to pay off this debt. They can't really contribute to society in a way. It's great for the overall economy and as well, because remember, GDP in the United States is driven by consumer spending. So if we just have a whole generation of, we always say broke college kids, right? That's the joke, broke college kids. Well, the truth is that they're broke post-college for many years. So they're not buying things. So imagine if they weren't saddled with enormous student loan debt, they could be buying things. And that contributes to the growth of the economy. And GDP grows. And so it's a virtuous circle that, you know, helps tremendously.
Well, and it's even like one thing, they can't file bankruptcy on that debt. Like, you can file bankruptcy on so much debt, but you can't on student debt. So it doesn't matter what you do. You have it until it's paid off.
Thank you, George W. Bush, for that one. That was a Bush era executive action on student loan debt. So you cannot, actually wasn't student loan. It wasn't executive action. It was a law with Republican Congress and George W. Bush. So you could not file bankruptcy to pay off student loan debt. But still great. All of your big corporate buddies on Wall Street can file bankruptcy. And right before they do it, they can take big golden parachutes. They can get big, you know. We saw that during COVID, right? All of these people who filed for PPP and filed for bankruptcy protection, they right before they did it, they took big bonuses. So, you know, there you go. Republicans supporting the big businesses, but not the little guy. Thank you, George W. Bush, for that one. Grover wants to say hi. He's been barking like crazy, so he's got to make his appearance. So let's talk about, we've got a lot more to get to here on the show. How's everyone doing in the chat today?
Good.
Any good questions coming in?
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard to gather them because I'm trying to mod too at the same time, moderate.
Yeah.
People are mad because I timed Source Awareness out because I thought he was trying to sell voodoo dolls in here, but he said it was a joke. So it's like,
okay. So Source Awareness, we're sorry. If you're, I'll buy a voodoo doll. If you have a voodoo doll to sell, maybe I'll buy one for you. Can we get a voodoo doll for Congress for Mitch McConnell, Turtle Boy?
Yeah,
talk about
you guys that are complaining should spend one day moderating a chat that has, you know, 5,500 people in it. You guys should spend one day trying that, and then you would completely understand why we have to be proactive. And yes, we're trying to, you know, stop hate messages and stuff like that, but you have to moderate it because if I don't know, if, like Clayton was talking about last night. When you don't moderate chat, it is so out of control. So, you know, if you're, you know, like not happy with that, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but it has to be moderated.
Yeah. Like I said, like last night when we did our live show, I don't know how many people here watching right now watched our live show last night covering Biden's press conference, but we didn't have members only chat turned on, and we just had, you know, a ton of trolls in there, just random people who jump in and who are just saying really hateful things. And that's no way to, then it, the whole chat experience sucks for you guys. So we've got more news to get to today. So let's talk about, well, there's a long list of stimulus items that are about to expire at the end of the year, and Congress is not doing anything about it. So if you're tuning in today hoping that there's going to be some big stimulus revelation, there's not. I know that there's a lot of different YouTubers out there that tell you stimulus is coming today. It's not. In fact, according to the reporting today from the Washington Post, there is nothing happening on the stimulus. Yes, the House of Representatives is back in town, but there's been no discussions. Remember, Mitch McConnell has no appetite to pass a stimulus. And so really what we're sort of pinning our hopes and dreams on at this point, it seems to be these Georgia Senate runoff races, where these two seats are up for grabs in Georgia, and whether or not Mitch McConnell will be sent packing back to Kentucky without his leadership position anymore. So that seems to be where the hopes and dreams are pinned right now for a massive stimulus package. But there are a lot of things that you rely on right now that are about to expire before the end of this year. So let's go through the laundry list of things that this huge safety net is about to be yanked out from under millions of people. Most notably, we've got 44 days left until these things run out. The pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, that gives you an extra 13 weeks of unemployment insurance to those who have run out of options. So that is set to expire. Another big piece that's set to expire is the pandemic unemployment assistance. That is going to expire. The PUA. So many people who are gig workers, contract workers, who are relying on this additional assistance right now, going away at the end of the year. The eviction moratorium. Of course, this is one of the big ones. So imagine all of this coming together at one point. During the winter, the eviction moratorium runs out. Pandemic unemployment insurance runs out. Mortgage forbearance runs out. That's the next one on the list. All at the same time. And Congress doesn't appear to be doing a damn thing about it. There's the list goes on. I'll continue here. The 2020 rebate checks end. State and local funding also stops flowing. Student loan forbearance. So student loan forbearance is a big one, although it just kicks the can down the street. Now, of course, if you watch my other video where I talked about President-elect Biden's potential plan for putting in place a $50,000 student loan forgiveness program, which would be transformative, Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren are calling for that. And there's hope that this could actually happen. Chuck Schumer saying we should pass executive orders to cancel student loan debt. Again, this would be transformative. And he could do that by executive action. He wouldn't have to wait for Congress. With the stroke of a pen, in executive action, he could do this. Student loan forbearance is nice, but all it does is kick the can down the street a little bit so that you end up having to pay that later on. And by the way, the interest keeps accruing. So, okay, it's gonna have to pay more later. But I don't have to pay it right now while I'm living with mom and dad because I can't find a job. Charitable deduction limits also end, expire. So if you were hoping to give to charity, you better do it now because that's about to run out. The exclusion of employer payments of student loans stops. The refundable tax credit for required paid sick leave runs out. The credit for family and sick leave and self-employed individuals ends. The payment delay for employer payroll taxes, that ends. Changes on net operating losses, that ends. That's on top of 33 different tax provisions that end at the close of this year. 33 different tax provisions that end at the close of this year. But to me, the biggest right now is the eviction moratorium. You had a lot of states that said, you know what, we're going to go forward with the eviction moratoriums ending anyway and allow evictions to take place. Now you have the federal eviction moratorium ending. Now, again, these are things that President-elect Biden could do by executive order, but he'd have to wait until the end of January until he's president to sign executive actions extending eviction moratoriums or student loan forbearance or any of these other programs or unemployment assistance. But all of this is coming to an end. So just in other words, not to put too fine a point on it, this huge safety net for the American people is about to be yanked away. And Congress isn't doing a damn thing about it. And President Trump is out on the golf course and tweeting. But he is taking care of some big things right now. Oh, yeah, this is what he's spending his time doing right now. He wants to cut Social Security benefits. So right now, cutting Social Security to maximize hurt on the disabled. Yeah, I wish I was making this up. Like, it seems like this is a joke, right? When you hear something like this, you're like, come on, that can't be real. In a pandemic, he wants to make it more difficult for people who are disabled to get access to their Social Security benefits. But no, it's not a joke. It's the truth. On Friday afternoon, President Trump finalized rules meant to do nothing but make it harder for disabled people to receive Social Security. So now it's changing its appeals process, replacing impartial independent administrative law judges with internal agency lawyers, hacks, who will make it more difficult for people to navigate this entire process. So disabled people getting access to Social Security benefits in a pandemic. Thank you, President Trump. In addition to that, he's also going full steam ahead, auctioning off rights to Arctic National Wildlife Refuge before Biden can block it, making sure that all that pristine wilderness coastline up there, people can drill into it. Which, by the way, most Alaskans do not support. And environmental impact studies say it would be disastrous. Remember the Exxon Valdez crash and disaster? Yes, Alaska is still trying to recover from that. Still, and it'll be many, 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 many years before that's getting even close to looking the way that it did before. Those wetlands have been decimated. And also wanting to race ahead with finalizing and trying to finish the border wall before he's thrown out of office. 400 miles of racing to try to finish, spending upwards of $20 billion to get that done. Priorities. But all of this stuff is about to run out. So tell me your thoughts. Are you relying on any of these programs right now? Hit me up in the comments below. I'd love to hear what you're dealing with right now. I read all of your comments. And please subscribe to the channel and click that like button, so we know that you appreciate us. Thank you so much. So let's talk about Georgia, because reporting this morning from the Washington Post that Georgia Secretary of State says fellow Republicans are pressuring him to find ways to exclude ballots. Just listen to this reporting. Washington Post's Bob Costa and Tom Hamburger reporting on this. Republicans sound the alarm on Georgia Senate runoffs as they privately weigh Trump's influence. Republican leaders are increasingly alarmed about the party's ability to stave off Democratic challengers in Georgia's two Senate runoff elections, and they privately describe President Trump on a recent conference call as a political burden who, despite his false claims of victory, was the likely loser of the 2020 election. So now the Georgia Secretary of State says fellow Republicans are pressuring him to find ways to throw out ballots. Yeah, where's the conservative news media talking about this right now? You want to talk about fraud? You want to talk about election interference? The Washington Post's Amy Gardner, quote, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said Monday that he has come under increasing pressure in recent days from fellow Republicans, including Senator Lindsey Graham, who said he questioned the validity of legally cast absentee ballots in an effort to reverse President Trump's narrow loss in the state. In a wide-ranging interview about the election, Raffensperger expressed exasperation over a string of baseless allegations coming from Trump and his allies about the integrity of the Georgia results, including claims that Dominion Voting Systems, the Colorado-based manufacturer of Georgia's voting machines, is a leftist company with ties to Venezuela that engineered thousands of Trump votes to be left out of the count. The atmosphere has grown so contentious, Raffensperger said, that he and his wife Tricia have received death threats in recent days. So that he and his wife Tricia have received death threats in recent days, including a text to him that read, "You better not botch this recount. Your life depends on it." Graham said, "This isn't true for what it's worth." He said it was a good conversation, though. I wouldn't trust Lindsey Graham as far as I could throw the guy. But getting involved in Georgia right now, asking them to throw out absentee ballots, and the Secretary of State is receiving death threats right now. Don't botch this recount. Don't botch this recount or I'm coming for you. I wouldn't put it past people right now. We're already seeing violence breaking out across the country. I wouldn't put it past people. We're in desperate times. And this, you know, and it's absolutely striking. I mean, take a look at your screen right now. Watch. Tell me if anyone in the chat right now can guess what this is. This is a picture of something. Can you tell me what this is? Let me know your thoughts. We're going to play a little guessing game here. This is how bad things are in this country right now. Anyone want to take a guess?
The drive-thru at McDonald's.
Let me know if you get drive-thru at McDonald's. No, no.
Close, we're getting though. Voting machines.
Here's another shot of it.
Traffic Dallas
voting
food
machines.
Bank.
No. Ooh, who said that?
Dallas food. That would be Levi.
Yeah, I think you got that right. In Dallas, people waiting to get 7,000 frozen turkeys for Thanksgiving because they can't afford them. Look how massive this line is. Insane. This is what we're dealing with in the country right now. How many of you live in Georgia? How many of you live in Georgia and are planning to vote in this runoff election? The atmosphere has just grown so contentious. I feel like everyone's saying, you know, these two seats in the Senate right now, can you imagine it all comes down to this? Whether we might see meaningful stimulus passed in this country. I'm not to put a too fine a point on it, but Mitch McConnell doesn't want to do anything. This guy has no appetite for any kind of stimulus that's going to help the American people. You want to retread PPP program, which had limited effect at all. No stimulus checks from Mitch McConnell. No interest in that whatsoever. And liability protection so workers get shafted. So that they're forced to go to work and they're forced to deal with a company that does a crappy job of protecting its workers. And then the worker gets sick and can't sue the owner of the company because they didn't put in proper procedures.
Well, and the thing is, if we could all get over identity politics and come together, this is one thing that actually could unite us, because both sides need this. Republicans, Democrats. But it's like we're too busy, we're too divided to come together on a common issue. But this, if there was one thing that could bring us together that we would all agree on, it's that people need help.
Yeah. And by the way, a lot of the provisions and things that people that are in the HEROES Act or that are part of any sort of meaningful stimulus, most people agree with. And you're right. I mean, people want universal health care. You know, people are in favor of some sort of a universal basic income for a time, even if it's just for a time, $2,000 a month till we get through this pandemic, like Canada has done, other countries have done. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that we can't pull this off. We all agree on it, but politicians like to pit us against each other. Like to pretend that we're, you know, that when you know, they try to play this, oh, that's a socialist program. We're going to turn into Venezuela if we have free public college or Medicare for all or an increase in some sort of a social safety net to make sure that people are okay. No, just look at Europe. Look at the other countries that actually do this on a daily basis and live this way. They don't live like that. Look at New Zealand. Look at Australia. Look at most of Europe. Look at Canada. Incredibly frustrating. I just sit there and I see these headlines, you know, like El Paso inmates helping overwhelmed morgues. California is now considering these statewide curfews. Businesses are racing right now to figure out what these new rules are. The problem is that we just don't have any kind of consistent plan. So you have Los Angeles that wants to curb indoor dining or certain thing, they don't want you to get together in this capacity, but then it's not, you can't go to the beach, but you can go over here. And then in Philadelphia, you're not allowed, we don't want you doing Thanksgiving together. We don't want you going to bars and places, but you can still go to the gym. You know, it's like all of this hodgepodge. There's no national strategy. I have to admit, I was a little discouraged last night. President-elect Biden talking last night at that press conference, one of the things he said when he was asked about like a nationwide, stay-at-home order, and he said he wasn't in favor of that. But he said at the same breath that he is in favor of, you know, he said, I'm in favor of allowing governors to make their decisions, but that's what got us into this mess. He also said he met with these labor leaders and businesses, and he said they all agreed that we needed a nationwide mandate on, we needed mandates on masks, social distancing, PPE in businesses. So what is it? Why is everyone so freaking cowardly to say that we need like a nationwide stay-at-home order? We need to have a nationwide lockdown. I just don't understand why. Is it just because of politics? You're just too scared to say it? I don't know what it is. Tell the truth. You have members of the administration that are saying the same thing. You have members of the Federal Reserve saying we need to have a lockdown. But these politicians can't say it. There's too many special interests up their butt telling them what to say. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. We publish a newsletter every day, by the way. It's in your inbox first thing in the morning. Just go to morninginvest.com. How many of you watching right now get our free newsletter? You'd be crazy not to. In fact, we give away free stuff in the newsletter too, just by referring other people. You get free mugs and hoodie sweatshirts as well. We have some people who got their swag from the... So if you pick up, like we have, let me show you just some different friendly faces. Like Melody Archer sent in this photo. She bought our Grover mug, our Come On Man Grover mug, and Don't Be a D. Nancy Kendrick, she got her Morning Invest hoodie, and she sent in a photo of herself. She has the Don't Be a D face mask. I love that. Which is the Don't Be a D-I-C-K face mask. Here's Pam Jessamine from Lake Placid, Florida, who sent in a picture of herself with her Grover mug. Grover's very happy. It's going right to his head, though. That's why he's barking nonstop today. He was a little pain in the butt today. And Heidi Adams here sent in her Halloween costume photo with her Come On Man mug. So thank you guys so much. We have a store, which is morninginvest.com/store, so you can check that out. But thank you to the almost 6,000 of you who joined us this morning. Any good questions you want to wrap up with here?
This has been a crazy mod day for chat. Let's see.
Let me go mod through. Is short for moderator.
Yeah, if, moderator.
If the cool kids don't understand.
Yeah, I'm a Twitch streamer, so you know. We use the word mod over there, mod and admin.
We had Essential Hard Worker dropped a super chat. Can Trump sign a stimulus package on the par 3 or the golf course of the McDonald's, or does he have to be in the Oval Office? He doesn't have to be in the Oval Office. He can be at the McDonald's Funland signing executive actions.
Somebody asked if there was talk of cutting disability income. Did you mention that at the beginning of the show?
Well, I did. Yeah. So here's the story on this. It's on Friday. This is Trump's, you know, use of his time right now. This is what President Trump signed on Friday. This is one of the last things that is finalizing rules meant to do nothing but make it harder for disabled people to receive Social Security and to endanger the Social Security benefits of disabled people who are already approved. It's in the first regulation. It's changing the appeals process by replacing impartial, independent administrative law judges with internal agency lawyers. So it makes it more difficult, basically, for people to get access to it. Again, during a pandemic, this regulation comes across your desk, and you're like, yeah, this looks like a good idea right now. Let's make it harder for disabled people to get access to Social Security benefits. Good on you, President Trump.
Levi Matthews is wondering.
Tammy Edward.
Wondering why don't you warn the people about the tax burden that would be caused if Biden eliminates $50,000 in student loans? All that under law becomes taxable. $50,000 results in over $9,000 in taxes.
Yeah, we can talk about that, but it's not. There's no law yet. There's no executive action, but I would much rather trade $50,000 in student loan debt for $9,000 in taxes that I could then defer for multiple years. So again, we don't know how this will shake out. And if it's an executive action that actually doesn't make it, it wouldn't be counted as income. because it's going to be hard for me to see how they would count this as income. You know, again, we don't know how this will shake out. We don't know what the executive action would look like. But you can play with it a number of different ways, right? He could sign it where this does not come. This is not counted as income. They did that, by the way, through the CARES Act. There was a number of things that were you were allowed to take advantage of that were not counted as income. They could do that quite easily. But again, I would much rather trade $50,000 in student loan debt for $9,000 of taxable income that I'd have to end up paying. Or, and I can maybe defer it for a number of years. Again, this could be part of the provision too, where over, like they done with the CARES Act, that you could take your 401k out and defer the penalties for that over a 5-year period. So there's a number of things that they could do. We don't, again, the proof is in the pudding. Again, these are just people talking right now, so we don't have anything written down. Tammy Edwards is here. You're not blocked, Tammy. Tammy says she sent a photo in of herself with a mug that she bought, but she doesn't know if we received it yet. I'll have to talk to our team and see if we'll get that folder uploaded or updated with some new photos.
January Man is saying nothing is free, but coincidentally enough, it technically is free for the big corporations. That $5 trillion was pretty much free, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so and guess what they did?
It's not free for us.
You would have thought, you know, it's not free for us, but you would have thought that they would have, you know, hired people with that money, kept people on their payrolls, hired people, research and development. No, what did they do? They bought their own shares back. So they just got richer. That's what they did. They just got richer. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today on The Old Show. We will be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much for subscribing to the channel. If you're new here, if you're watching for the very first time, please just subscribe. Hit that little subscribe button. Very easy to do. Turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. We go live at 9 a.m. Eastern time every day. Again, sorry for all of the barking, but that's what you have when you have a 10-month-old mini pincher, brand new quarantine puppy. And a wife who went on a jog and didn't take the dog. No way. Slows you down. He runs faster than you do.
Get one of those papoose things. What are those papoose baskets? She can put him in that and run as fast as she wants.
Yeah, put him in a papoose basket. One of those baby strollers. Yeah.
But I didn't think he cared.
Oh, he cares.
He only cares about you.
No. So she went on a run and did not.
Sorry.
Did not bring the dog.
Think if she put him in one of those baskets, think of the calf workout she'd get.
Sorry about that.
This is what I had to deal with through the whole show.
He howled for
yeah.
me?
Not for you. There was another dog outside.
Oh. Because he's so obsessed with you that yeah. I didn't think that he would care. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
Natalie Morris,
one day,
everyone.
I don't know how many of you watched. It was back in May or so. You're watching my show back in May when Grover stepped on the power strip and turned off the live stream. Literally. He literally stepped on the power strip and the computer went down. Unbelievable. Thank you, guys. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, bright and early. Be safe, everybody. Take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.